Thank you, Paul. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet right now across this place? You know, as they gathered in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, it said that they gathered in one accord. They gathered in one accord. There was harmony between them. They were gathered in one place with one cause, with one thing in mind, unified together. You know what I love about our Sunday night services and something that makes our PM services at Emerge Church so amazing is that we're gathered here in one accord. We're gathered here for one reason. We're seeking the face of God. We're seeking the presence of God. And we see powerful moves of God right here at our 5:30 services because we come here because we're hungry. Because we want to see God move in our lives. You're not here just to tick a box. You're here because you want to see God move on your life. You've made an effort to get out of here. And so right now, would you close your eyes and lift your hands in this place? Can we in our hearts right now, let's be gathered in one accord right now. We only want one thing, and that's the presence of God. We want one thing, and that's the glory of God in our lives. Come on, before we even dive into the Word, Holy Spirit, we want one thing, the glory of God in this place right now. The glory of God in this place. So would you fall afresh on us? Would you fall afresh on us right now? Lord, would you refresh those that are weary? Lord, would you heal those that are sick? Lord, would you break addiction off people's lives? Lord, would you bring breakthrough in marriages and in families? We gather in one accord right now. And say, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, so powerful, Holy Spirit, our God, Holy Spirit is here right now. Come on, with your hands raised and your eyes closed, just say, come Holy Spirit, invite the Holy Spirit in to do whatever He wants to do tonight. Come on, the Holy Spirit lives in you, but sometimes you need to give that invitation, that permission to come and do whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so we invite you tonight, Holy Spirit. We gather for one reason, in one accord, under one name, the name of Jesus, and ask that you would come and have your way. Come on, whatever it is right now, if it's something that you think is too far gone, if there's a sickness, if there's a loved one that's away from the Lord, if there's a breakthrough that you're needing, come on, let's believe that the Holy Spirit is going to move tonight and you're going to see breakthrough tonight. Come, Holy Spirit. Come,
Holy Spirit.
Come on, right now, fall afresh.
Fall afresh on me.
Fill me with your power.
Fill me with your power.
Oh, Holy Spirit, satisfy my needs.
Satisfy my needs.
Only you can make me whole.
Only you can make me whole.
Give me strength.
Give me strength to make me grow.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Fall afresh on me.
Yes, Holy Spirit. Would you come right now? Would you prepare our hearts for what you want to do? Would you speak to us, Holy Spirit? Would you remind us of the prophetic words that we've received 30 years ago, 40 years ago, Lord? The promises that you've given us, God. Would you remind us of your power, Holy Spirit? If we've just gone into the mundane, if we've just gone into autopilot mode, God, remind us, Holy Spirit, of the power that lives inside of us. The power that raised Jesus from the grave is inside of us. So we honor you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're with us, that you're moving right now. We ask that you would come and have your way. Have your way tonight. Just say that prayer right now, honestly from your heart. If that's what you want, just pray. Just say, Holy Spirit, would you have your way tonight? Would you speak to me tonight? In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said amen.
Amen.
Come on, do you love the Lord?
Yeah.
So good. You can take your seat, team. Thank you. Who's excited to be at church on Pentecost Sunday? You've already heard it like six times, but I'm going to say it again because it is exciting. Because we are a Pentecostal church and we believe in the Holy Spirit and we are a Spirit-filled church. Amen? You kind of sound like a Spirit-filled church then. Come on, we're a Spirit-filled church. Amen? So good. I can't get ahead of myself tonight. We're going to get into the Word in a moment, but I need to let you know about something very exciting where the Holy Spirit is going to be moving powerfully coming up very soon, and that is our Young Adults Retreat. If you are, yeah, that's right. Come on, our Young Adults Retreat. Oh, wow. Wow. Come on, our Young Adults Retreat. There we go. Thank you, Young Adults. We have our Young Adults Retreat coming up from the 3rd to the 5th of July. It's for 18 to 30-year-olds. This is something that you do not want to miss out on. It's going to be incredible. It's a retreat as we gather away to give time to God. You know, any time that you give dedicated time to seeking the presence of God, it's such a time of refreshing and fresh filling. But also, this is where we can receive words for our future and a kingdom calling on our lives. You know, we have Amy Battaccio coming. And I know to a lot of you, maybe you've seen her in the missions videos, things like that. But young adults, I have to let you know, you do not even know what you are in for. Like, if you want to get fired up for the Great Commission to go and see souls saved, come and hear Amy speak. She, oh my goodness, she spoke at the ACC National Conference, and it was just like a little ad. It was a little blurb for ACC missions, and someone kind of spoke, and then she got up there, and she just started talking about her heart for missions, and the whole room, a conference of thousands of people, were on their feet cheering, not for just a person, because they were fired up for the call of God that we have been called to. And so young adults, come on, make sure you register. We're going to have a table at the back of the auditorium tonight. I know there's so many of you who know you're coming, as always, but you haven't registered yet. Please register. You need to be registered by the 22nd of June. So just do it tonight. Deposit doesn't have to be in until then. And so please make it happen. If you have any questions, come and speak to us about it. We've also got Pastor Josh and Laura Douglas coming from Calvary Church. If you remember Pastor Dustin Bell, who came to our summit last year and is so amazing, they are location pastors for him. And so that's going to be awesome, young adults. So register for that. It's going to be great. You do not want to miss out on that. But like we've said, it is Pentecost Sunday. So I decided that today would be a great Sunday to speak on Pentecost, speak on the Holy Spirit. Who loves the Holy Spirit? Come on, I love the Holy Spirit. I even considered just calling my message tonight, I love the Holy Spirit. And I decided against it. But I love the Holy Spirit. And we are a Pentecostal church. We are unashamedly Pentecostal. We are unashamed about the Holy Spirit, that we are a tongue-speaking church here at Emerge Church. We are Emerge Church. And we love the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes I feel like you kind of have the big two celebrations. We celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas, and then we celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus on Easter. But Pentecost, it's kind of like, it's like the lesser one. It's a little bit of the forgotten one. I personally just think it's because at Christmas, kids get gifts, Easter kids get chocolate, and so you're kind of indoctrinated from a young age to really like those days. But Pentecost, what can we give like people on Pentecost? We need to start like giving them like, I don't know, a lighter or something for some fire. I don't know. Don't give kids a lighter. That's a silly idea. That wasn't in my notes. But Pentecost, just as a little bit of background, maybe if you don't know, it was a Jewish tradition. It was a feast. It was an event that they would come together. And people would come together from all over, and they would gather in Jerusalem, and they would have a feast there. And it was celebrated 50 days after the Passover or after Easter. And it was also aligned with when the law was given to them as well. And so they would gather for that. But that's not what we remember Pentecost for. We remember Pentecost because, as it's been said already tonight, that Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit fell on those first 120. And the Holy Spirit was given for all people, all men. You know, before that, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit's always been around since creation. It's not like it just appeared in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit's always been around. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to select people, prophets, judges, just people that would be select of, okay, you can have the Holy Spirit here to do this thing or to prophesy and those things. But it was select, and they were special people chosen by God. But the importance around Pentecost and what we see here is it's not select people just chosen by God. It's available for all people, and it's available for you and I. Does that excite you that the Holy Spirit is available to us? You know, sometimes I think that No, I know sometimes that we take this for granted. Same with the presence of God. In the Old Testament, man, sometimes I think about, man, some of the people in the Old Testament must just think, how are you guys not just like jumping up and down every morning when you wake up? You guys have got the presence of God. And you guys have got the Holy Spirit living in you. And you're just kind of wake up, oh yeah, go about your day. But we are so privileged to have the Holy Spirit living in us. Amen? Amen. 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 It was also, Pentecost, really it was the beginning of the Christian church. The church was begun, the early church at Pentecost. And so this is an exciting time for us. We celebrate this time. We're here tonight because of the day of Pentecost, because the early church was begun as the Holy Spirit fell. And I'm so grateful for that. I went on a bit of a rant there and I've lost myself in my notes. Let's pray. Why don't you bow your heads and close your eyes? Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for you. God, we thank you that you didn't just send your Spirit for a select few, but God, you sent your Holy Spirit for all to receive. And we just want to thank you right now that we have the Holy Spirit with us. Your Spirit, God, in the third of the Trinity, Father, God, we thank you that it is with us. And thank you that it brings power, that brings guidance, that brings help, comfort, so many things we have in the Holy Spirit. And so would you speak tonight as we look in your word, Holy Spirit, bring it to life for everyone in this room, Jesus. And God, I pray that tonight we'd become more aware of the Holy Spirit and that we'd leave this place feeling excited, feeling pumped up to be able to go into our world with the gift of the Holy Spirit, to see people saved, to see them baptized, to see them discipled and also filled with the Spirit, and that it would bring you glory, Jesus, that your name would be lifted high through it all. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. So we're going to have a look in the classic Pentecost Sunday verses. We're going to start in Acts chapter 1. But before that, we're going to look at in Acts chapter 1, it's Jesus, his kind of last words on earth. And I don't know if you know, you've had the unfortunate event of losing a loved one, a grandparent, or someone in your life. And if you've kind of had those final conversations, I've had a couple of grandparents where I've had conversations with them being kind of aware that it was potentially my last conversations with them. And it's interesting because I have had thousands of conversations with them over my life, from when I was, you know, just a baby and when I could first talk, all throughout growing up. I've had thousands of conversations with my grandparents, but then it's in those last couple of meetings when you're speaking with them where there is a heaviness and a weight to every word they say. And, you know, often in those moments, because of the circumstances, even it can be a struggle for them to even get the words out, but you're hanging on every word they say, because you're aware that this is the last opportunity you're going to have to speak with them. You're aware that there won't be any words coming after this. And so as we look at Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 9, we see the last words of Jesus before he goes up to heaven. We see his last words. And so it is important to look. These words are obviously important, not only just because they're his last words, but because when Jesus speaks, it's important. When we see red letters in the Bible, we know it's important. And so what does Jesus say with his last words on earth? Let's have a look. It says this, Acts chapter 1, verse 4 to 9. It says, "And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So the final thing that Jesus says is wait for the promise of the Father. And what's the promise of the Father? The promise is the Holy Spirit. You see, the day of Pentecost wasn't just some random occurrence. It wasn't some kind of idea that God cooked up and he's like, oh, this would be cool. Like, maybe this will work. This was the plan all along. God is, he's a smart God. He knows what he's doing. This was the plan all along. We see back in the book of Joel that this was prophesied, that this day would come. It says in Joel 2, 28 and 29, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all," everyone say all, "on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Come on, say, someone say amen. "Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit." Amen. This is prophesied hundreds of years before. You know, if you're ever not sure about God's plans and purposes for your life, if you kind of feel like, God, what are you doing here? I don't understand what you're doing. Understand that we serve the God who literally had things planned hundreds of years before they even happened. I think we can trust that he's in control. I think we can trust that he knows what he's doing. He is a very well-planned God, and he knows what we're doing. So if you're not sure right now, if you're feeling like, I don't know if I can trust what you're doing, God, rest assured, he is in control. Rest assured, he knows what he is doing. And so hundreds of years after this prophecy, we see this coming to pass in the book of Acts. And then Jesus continues, Acts chapter 1, verse 6, or verse 8. But you will receive power. Everyone say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses. Everyone say witnesses. In Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. It's like the ultimate mic drop. Like instead of a mic drop, like imagine right now I finish my message and I'm like, have a great week, church. A cloud comes down and I just go, woo, up. It's like Mario Kart or something. But he just, and that's the last thing he says. Jesus is gone. He'd left his message and he said, all right, cool. It's all good. I've left what I need to leave. Now you wait and I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go. And then we skip to Acts chapter 2 and we're at the day. We're at the day where everything changed. We're at the day where the church was born. We're at the church when the day when the Spirit was poured out on all men. And the reason we are literally standing here right now, we're at that day. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. And it said, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Like I said earlier, there's other translations say they were together in one accord. They were unified in their cause. They were there for a reason. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This changed everything. This was a major step in God's plan for humanity. You know, God created the universe. He created the earth. He created mankind. And then he walks through this journey in the Old Testament with mankind where you kind of, it's like he's giving them promises that he's saying, this is what's going to happen. They kind of mess up. He helps them. He saves them. They kind of go, all right. Then they mess up again and he keeps saving them. And then so he's like, all right. Then the next step of the plan, Jesus comes along and Jesus comes and he completes it. He brings us into the next step, which is then Jesus like, all right, cool. I've done my job. We're going from the old covenant to the new covenant. And now we are living in the next step. Now the Holy Spirit comes and Jesus hands the baton onto his disciples, onto the apostles. He said, cool, I've done my part. Now I give it to you. And you know what's interesting is that when he does this, the disciples kind of don't understand a little bit. They ask him, they're like, you know, are you gonna redeem Israel? Are you gonna bring it back to like its strength? And then he's like, don't worry about that. You don't need to worry about that. But isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit lives in all men? You know, Jesus was on earth, God in flesh, God as man, as one person. And then the Holy Spirit comes so that we can all have the Spirit of God living inside of us. You know, I was thinking it's kind of like maybe in the old days, I'm going to offend some people with that. But in the old days, you had to, if you wanted to watch a movie or go see a play or something like that, you had to go buy your ticket. You had to go then to a specific location where that movie or play was being shown at a specific time. And you had to go in there and sit down to watch that movie. And if you missed that time, you missed the movie. You didn't really get any flexibility around it. But these days, if I wanted to, in my message right now, I could just pull up a movie. I could be speaking to you while also watching something down here, a new Disney movie or something like that. And we literally can just like, what used to be this whole kind of thing of having to go somewhere and buy the ticket and it was only for select people who could afford it. Right now, we just have that everywhere we go. And it's the same thing. The Holy Spirit, what was something that was really only for particular people. Now every single one of us get to carry around. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that awesome? I love that. That's awesome. The Spirit of God is with us and we carry the Spirit of God. Let me tell you, This was needed for what they were about to do. It was essential that the Holy Spirit would come. It wasn't just a nice little addition to the side. It was needed because they were about to start the church. The early church was started with the power of the Holy Spirit. And God used this group of unqualified people, but they were common, but they were filled with the Holy Spirit to build the church that's still going over 2,000 years later. Isn't it amazing? Those 120 people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it says that some people started mocking them because they thought they were drunk. And Peter gets up and he says, no, we're not drunk. And he preaches this message. This is the same Peter that denied Jesus 3 times because he was scared of being, you know, persecuted or killed. And he stands up in front of over 3,000 people and he preaches a message. And around 3,000 people are saved. And from that movement, we're gathered in Brisbane, Australia, right here, right now. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit is amazing and powerful and with us and with us. You know, you got to follow me here. I ran this past Danielle because this is an NBA, a basketball story. And I said, Danielle, am I just telling this story because I like basketball? And she's like, no, it's okay. So follow me here. In the year 2009, we're in the NBA finals, just like we are right now. And who's ever heard of a player, Kobe Bryant? Anyone heard of Kobe Bryant? Yep, there you go. There's a name you might know. The Los Angeles Lakers were in the NBA Finals and Kobe Bryant was playing. And what happened was the Los Angeles Lakers, they had won the first 2 games. Now, come along this basketball journey with me. To win the finals, you have to win 4 games. It's whoever can win 4 games but against the other team first wins. So they've won 2. How many more do they have to win? Well done, guys. Well done. And so what happens, they've won 2 games, which statistically, throughout the history of the NBA, the team that wins 2 games first, they win, it's 86.1% of they win the finals. And so they are in a very good spot. But then what happens is, there's this famous interview where then after the game, Kobe is sitting in the post-game press conference where they interview them, they ask them questions about the game and what they're feeling. And Kobe's just sitting there, just very serious looking. And this journalist kind of laughs a little bit as he asks the question. He's like, what's going on? You're up 2-0. Like, you know, you're probably going to win this. Aren't you happy? And Kobe says, what's there to be happy about? The job's not finished. The job's not finished. And sometimes, you know, we might look back at that early church and think, wow, that's amazing. Look what they did. Look how they saw thousands of people saved. Look how they healed people, how they spread the gospel amongst so many people. That is amazing. But church, I'm here to tell you tonight that until Jesus returns for his bride, for his church, the job's not finished. Until Jesus comes back, we're still in that same step and the job is not finished. The same thing that those apostles were doing in the early church, that's still what we are to be doing today. We still need to be expanding the kingdom. We need to be reaching the lost. We need to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The job's not finished. Turn to someone next to you and say, the job's not finished. The job is not finished. You know, we're filled with the same Holy Spirit that filled Peter when he went and preached to the 3,000. It's not a different Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that filled Paul, the same Holy Spirit is in us. The same Holy Spirit, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you and lives in me. The Holy Spirit is alive. The Holy Spirit is active and the Holy Spirit is moving today. The Holy Spirit is still moving. It's not something just from back then, but the Holy Spirit is still moving today. And we can't just sit back satisfied. We can't just sit back and, yep, I like my nice church. Merch Church is a nice church. I like my nice life. You know, I've got a steady paying job. My family's pretty good. Well, we can't just get comfortable with our life because, church, the job is not finished. We didn't hit a point where, you know, Christianity has spread to a certain amount and there's a certain amount of churches and God didn't just sit back and be like, oh, cool, wow, they made it. Jesus still isn't coming back for a few years now, but they finished early, you know, pencils down, I don't know, like, you know, you guys are good. Their job still has to be done. There is still more to be done in our mission in witnessing for the gospel of Christ. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit that lives in you has given you the power Not just me on stage, not just Pastor Mark because he's a pastor, not just, you know, Pastor Chris Mickelson because he's an amazing evangelist, but he's given you the power to go into the world, go into your world and be a witness for the good news that Jesus Christ died for the whole world so that everyone may be saved. Come on, that's good news, amen. You've been given the power, you've been given the Holy Spirit to take you into your Monday, and even when you feel like you don't know what they're gonna say, you don't feel like you have the right words, the Holy Spirit is in you to guide you and help you to witness to those around you. We have a job and it's not finished. We have a job and it's not finished, and that is to witness to those around us, to go into all the world, to make disciples, to lead people to Jesus. It's not just the job of the church, of, you know, a pastor to lead people to Jesus. You can lead someone to Jesus in your workplace. You can lead someone to Jesus in your family. We are all called. You know, Acts 1 verse 8, we see it as Jesus said, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be my witnesses. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, we all have our own callings. I am called to ministry, but I also have a calling to the Great Commission in my life. You know, you might be called to be an architect, but you have a calling to the Great Commission to be a witness for the gospel. You might be called to be a teacher, but you also have a calling to the Great Commission to witness for the gospel. Come on, because we carry good news and they're not separate things. Let me tell you, the good news, the gospel, Jesus dying on the cross for us to be saved, you know, John 3:16 is not separate to Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit fell. In fact, they are essential for each other. They are needed for each other. We have the Holy Spirit to help us in that Great Commission. You might be called to be a stay-at-home mum, but you are also called to be a witness in your spheres and in your world. You know, maybe you're called to be in the marketplace, but you can be a witness. So we're going to pray for people tonight. We're going to pray that the Holy Spirit would fall afresh on us, that as we go, you know, so many of us tomorrow, think about all the different places we're going tomorrow, the workplaces we're going into tomorrow, the families we're going into tomorrow. Imagine the reach that we have in this room and the Holy Spirit going out into all of these places. The Holy Spirit is our helper in all this. So I've got a couple of points about what the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit helps us, how the Holy Spirit is essential in this. And the first point is that the Holy Spirit is vital. The Holy Spirit is vital in us carrying out the purpose and the mission that God has given us. Let me tell you, you cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. Who, back in Cyclone Alfred, who lost power? Raise your hand if you lost power. I lost power. Oh man, a lot of you didn't. There you go. I lost power for like a number of days. And it sucks. Let me tell you, losing power is not fun. You realize how much electricity you use when you lose power. And, you know, I remember when we lost power, there was a couple of times we're sitting there and Danielle and I had broken out the candles. And we're kind of trying to play a board game on the floor, but it was kind of hard to see. And then there's like trees falling down outside. It was crazy. But there was a couple of times where when we had no power, I would get up and I'd like go to the bathroom or something like that. And as I'd walk in, just like instinctually, I would just like go to turn the light on. And I'm like, oh, we got no power. We can't turn it on. But trying to live out God's purpose in your life without the Holy Spirit is like trying to turn a light switch on without having any power. It's like you're trying to act something out without there actually being any power connected to it. If you try to live out God's purpose on your life without the Holy Spirit, you're doing it without the power, the electricity that God designed you to have for it. The Holy Spirit wasn't just a nice little addition into our lives. It was the fuel. It was the power to do what God had given us to do. And so the Holy Spirit is vital. We see John 16 verse 12. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he speaks, he will speak, or whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. We need the Holy Spirit to understand, to be guided in God's calling in our life. Everyone say, the Holy Spirit is vital. Well done. That was a little bit of a mouthful. Number two is you need to be aware of the Holy Spirit. Now you might be like, I'm so aware of the Holy Spirit. You guys have talked about the fact that it's Pentecost Sunday like 16 times already tonight. But it is an easy trap to fall into, to lose awareness of God even, but lose awareness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You know, sometimes we're like, it's like, yeah, we love God the Father. Yes, God the Father is amazing. And Jesus the Son, wow, he died on the cross for all that. It's amazing. But sometimes people are a little bit like, yeah, but the Holy Spirit, I don't quite get the Holy Spirit. And so I'm just going to like put the Holy Spirit to the side and I'm just kind of going to forget about that. But the Holy Spirit, we need to be aware of the Holy Spirit on our Sundays, on our Mondays, on our Tuesdays, and on our Wednesdays. It's so important to be aware of the Holy Spirit because it is possible, church. It's possible to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's possible to be saved and Spirit-filled, but live out our entire lives without considering the Holy Spirit in what we do. It is possible. We can go through all of our decision-making without considering the Holy Spirit, and that is an unawareness of what the Holy Spirit is offering in our lives. We need to be aware and consider the Holy Spirit in all we do. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel where King David, he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant back. And the Ark of the Covenant, it represents, it's the presence of God in the Ark of the Covenant. And King David is so excited, and it is such a big deal that they're bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, that what they would do is every six steps that they would take carrying, like with the Ark of the Covenant, they would sacrifice a bull and a fat calf as worship to God. And they would stop and they would worship God with a sacrifice. Then they would take another six steps and then they would stop and they would worship God. This is the reverence that David held for the presence of God. And this is also then when he got back, he danced before the Lord and he was so excited because the presence of God had come back. And we have the Spirit of God living in us. And sometimes we wake up on a Wednesday morning and we get up and we get ready and we drink our coffee and we go to work and then we work all day and then we come home and we have our dinner and we go to bed. We lie in bed and we haven't considered the Holy Spirit once in our lives. We need to have an awareness and a reverence for the Holy Spirit. And I don't want to make you feel bad. We all fall into it. But let's make sure we check ourselves. Am I showing an awareness, a reverence for the Holy Spirit in all our lives? You know, in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's like the Ark of the Covenant carried the presence of God. Our body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit. What an honor that is. What a privilege that is. So consider the Holy Spirit in everything you do. I challenge you this week, as you're making even small decisions, big decisions, small decisions, in all that you do, just take a moment. Take 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Stop. You don't even have to get on your knees or anything like that. Just stop and just say, Holy Spirit, would you guide me in this? Would you help me with this? Just bring the Holy Spirit into your day-to-day lives. The Holy Spirit is someone that we can have conversation with, that we can talk with. Number three, and this is what we see happen in the early church, you need to sell out. You need to be sold out for the mission. You know, when they first were filled with the Holy Spirit in the upper room, and then like I said, Peter goes and preaches that message, and about 3,000 people are saved. Do you know what happens next? We see it in Acts 2 verse 42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the making of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing and proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food and with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. They got saved and filled with the Spirit, and then they sold out so much, they were literally selling all of their possessions to be able to fund the ministry and to, you know, feed the poor and help the needy. They realized in that moment that nothing else mattered more than the mission of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know, so often you see it over and over again. People get saved and they get set on fire for God. And then, you know, they're inviting everyone to church and nothing else matters more than spreading the gospel of Jesus. And then over time, you just kind of see that taper off a little bit. And I do think there's a bit of a natural kind of curve of it. But We shouldn't just settle in, oh yeah, I used to be like that. When I was a teenager, I used to be like that. In my youth ministry days, I used to be like that. We need to sell out to the gospel message. You know, I was talking about Amy Botocchio before, who's in Japan, who are having a young adults retreat. She is someone sold out to the gospel. She is someone who realizes nothing else matters more than spreading the gospel of Jesus and seeing people saved. And let me tell you, the reason why that whole room of pastors was standing up, not because she was a super eloquent speaker and they're just like, wow, amazing speaking, Amy. No, it's because it activated something in our spirits that we're all called to go into the world, that we all have this put in our hearts to see people saved. And it was speaking to something in the pastors and the leaders in the room. And we all have that in us, but we need to be intentional about fueling that fire in our lives. If we don't do anything about it, if we don't fuel it, if we don't be intentional about it, then that fire will just lay dormant. That fire will just sit there and we won't have that fire and that passion to see people saved. Maybe tonight, it's been a while since you've really believed for someone in your life to be saved. Come on, let's start to believe again that that family member, that that coworker, that they can find a relationship with God and they can be saved. Let's get sold out again. If I can have the band up on stage. You know, the word in Acts chapter 1, as Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses, the word they use there is the same word that you get the word martyr from. You know, a martyr for Christ. You get that same word. And martyr is someone who is willing to die for their cause. And we see this in the New Testament. We see that, you know, that they were willing to die for their cause. Basically, all of them did die for the cause of spreading the gospel. And I know that might sound shocking as we, you know, speak in a North Brisbane, you know, church on a Sunday night. But can I encourage you that maybe that is how God designed us to live in our Christian walk, that we are so passionate about spreading the gospel, even though it doesn't seem like something that's relevant to us. It's like, why would I die for the cause? You know, there's not that kind of threat. But are you willing to go that far? Or what is your limit? What's your limit of, I would go this far and then it's too much for me, God. I would go this far until maybe someone looks at me funny or someone makes fun of me or maybe someone does a social media post about what I was saying. How far would you go? How far are you willing to go? Because let me tell you that the apostles, the disciples, as they went, they were willing to die because they knew it was that important. And so how far are you willing to go to spread the gospel? How far? You know, we see in the book of Acts that as they go and they're sharing and they're preaching in the temple and the streets and everything like that, that the religious leaders of the time, they don't like this. They're like this, they're preaching about this Jesus guy, people are getting saved, we don't like it. And so they pull them in and they basically threaten them and say, if you don't stop, you know, we're gonna get you. Like, you know, if you don't stop, bad things are gonna happen. And you know, we look at these guys and we're like, no, they're so amazing. They wouldn't have been scared. They wouldn't have been scared. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they just would have gone out and just keep preaching again. But you know what it says? It doesn't say that they just kept preaching. It says they went into prayer and they asked for boldness. You know what that tells me? That tells me they were scared. That tells me that they were freaking out. They've been threatened. They're saying, God, give us boldness. We can't do it on our own. We need your boldness. And it says that the Holy Spirit falls on them again and they're filled with boldness and then they run out and they start preaching again. The Holy Spirit gives us the boldness we need. Maybe you're here tonight and you're like me and maybe going and speaking to someone, it's not your kind of natural position. You know, you wouldn't consider yourself an evangelist. You wouldn't consider yourself someone kind of who would comfortably go and speak to someone about Jesus. It's a little bit outside of your comfort zone. Let me encourage you tonight that the Holy Spirit can give you boldness to do that. Outside of your own strength, boldness to go do that. And we're going to pray for boldness for people at the end of tonight, believing that tomorrow you can go into your workplace with boldness. You know what they said as well in Acts 4 verse 20? When threatened, they said, we cannot stop telling people what we have seen and heard. They carried that. They carried that passion. Like a fire shut up in their bones, like Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says. They couldn't hold it in. They couldn't hold it in. You know, tonight, I know that there's people in this room, like I was saying, who they just, when I'm talking about witnessing to people around us, you're just thinking, that's not me. God just didn't call me to be a witness. I just couldn't. I've tried before and it didn't work. I've spoken to people and it didn't work. But the call is for everyone. The call is for all of us. The Great Commission is for all of us. And let me also encourage you, if you're struggling to find purpose in life, you're struggling to know why you're here, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a senior, whether you're just feeling like your life is a little bit purposeless or you're just not sure what's going on, let me encourage you, lead someone to Jesus and you will feel the greatest purpose that you have ever felt before. Make it a goal of yours to this year, lead someone in a prayer inviting Jesus into their life. How cool would that be if every single person in this room tonight at some point this year led someone to Jesus in that prayer? They don't even have to come to Emerge Church. Sorry, Pastor Mark, is that okay? but it'd be great if they did because it's a great church. But lead someone in a prayer to invite Jesus into their life and you will feel great, great purpose. But even as we've spoken about before, it might not even be the prayer. Your witnessing might not even be that final step. It might be the early steps. You know, the parable of the sower of the seeds, that the seeds were sown and, you know, some of the seeds fell on the footpath and the birds ate them. Some fell on shallow soil and there was rock underneath so the roots couldn't go down deep. Some among thorns that choked out the plants. But then other seeds fell on fertile soil and it produced a crop of 30, 60 and even 100 fold. And so maybe you have people in your life who their soil is a bit thorny. You have people in your life where their soil is a little bit shallow. And maybe your job of being a witness, it's not just to throw seed, because if you're throwing seed at them, we know what's going to happen. The thorn is going to choke it out. The roots aren't going to be able to go deep enough. Maybe your job is just with the love of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit to just day by day, slowly remove that one thorn, slowly till that soil, prepare the soil, and that so one day, whether it's you or whether it's someone else, comes along and scatters some seed there, and then all of a sudden it grows and there's a great harvest. I was thinking about it, wouldn't you love it if someone did that for that family member that you know, who maybe you don't have the opportunity to speak to them all the time, but I pray that, I say, God, would you surround them with people who are gonna lead them closer to you? What if you could be someone who tills the soil for someone whose family member is praying for them to get saved? You might not even find out that they get saved, but witnessing isn't just that final moment of leading them to Jesus. It can just be preparing the soil, removing the thorns. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can be led. You know, the last thing is that the Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit is our guide. We see, once again, in the book of Acts that there's, Philip is out and there is a Ethiopian eunuch on the road and then the Holy Spirit says, go, speak to him. And then we see Philip go and lead this Ethiopian eunuch to get baptized. And it's an amazing moment, but the Spirit is the one who says, go speak to him. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to say to us, go speak to them. And you'll be like, oh, no, I don't want to. So often it's a little bit scary to go do it. But listen, when the Spirit guides, we need to listen. Why don't we all stand on our feet right now? What I want us to pray tonight is for all those, firstly, who you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What a great day to be filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. If you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we want to pray with you tonight and believe that you're going to be filled with the Spirit. But also, for those tonight who maybe you haven't been living out your purpose of being a witness to those around you. You haven't been living out the Great Commission with the Holy Spirit being your power and your strength and your guide. I want to lay hands on people tonight and I want to pray for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on you, that you're going to go into your workplace tomorrow, your uni, your school, you're going to go in bold. You're going to go in and you're going to be like, man, I don't know what it is. Actually, I do. It's the Holy Spirit, but I'm feeling good today. I'm going to go speak to some people about Jesus today. I'm going to tell them that I was at church yesterday and man, it was a great week. And so I want to lay some hands on people and we're going to believe that you're going to go with a boldness into your week. That the Holy Spirit is going to give you boldness. It's going to give you words of knowledge. It's going to give you guidance. And that we're going to see people saved as you move through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge you right now. You're in this place. And God, I pray your Holy Spirit fall afresh on every single one of us, Lord. Lord, that there'd be a fresh acknowledgement, awareness, reverence for your Holy Spirit as we wake up tomorrow, as we wake up and go into our days, we go into our weeks, Holy Spirit, we'll be aware of who we have with us, the Holy Spirit, and that we would, in everything we do, every decision, every question, every moment, we would recognize your Holy Spirit. We would recognize the power. We would recognize the boldness that we have access to, Father. And God, I pray that we'd be able to, through your Holy Spirit, be witnesses in the world around us, in our workplaces, that we'd be able to witness to those around us, Father. Lord, we don't want to just live ordinary lives. We don't want to just live lives that don't make a difference. But God, we want to live a life that changes those around us. And come on, if you're in this place right now and you want to this year, you want to lead someone personally. You want to lead someone to Jesus in that prayer. It might not look how you think it is. It might not be, you know, from a stage. It's just in a conversation. It could be in a coffee shop. It could be anywhere. But if that's you, if you want to lead someone to Jesus this year, would you just raise a hand right now? I want to pray. If you want to lead someone to Jesus right now, Lord, we pray for every person with their hands raised with this desire. Lord, this is your heart to see people come to know you. Lord, I pray that you would give them such a burden for those around them. Lord, that they would get out of their comfort zone. Lord, that they would grow passionate about seeing those around them saved. God, that they wouldn't just be able to go through their days seeing the lost around them, but God, they would need to lead them to you, Father. So I pray, Holy Spirit, give them boldness in their conversation. Give them wisdom in the right things to say. And I pray you would help them to lead people, to soften the soil, Father. And that every single person, we pray every single person who's raised their hands, that some point this year, they would lead someone in a prayer to lead them to you, to accept Jesus into their life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.